We know this is going to be a difficult video for a lot of you, and it's been a very difficult decision for us too. Today, unfortunately, we're here to announce that we are no longer goths.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is morning somewhere for April 15th, 2024. Almost got it. My name is Bernie Burns. Don't believe the lies. She's still goth. Ashley Burns sitting right over there. You're going to be disappointed.
Am I? Oh.
It's back to me.
I wear black because my life is black.
That drop is, I got bitten by April Fool's joke. My guard was down.
Well, it's because it's been so long now. You feel like you should be safe.
Statute of limitations.
But you're not.
There's got to be a period after April Fool's where April Fool's jokes should just be wiped off. So it was a goth couple on Instagram who did an April Fool's joke where they went clean or normal.
Went normal. They gave up the goth life.
And I was into it. I was like, look at these two people. Like they're having a shift of identity and they're struggling with it. They're being very open about it. April Fool's joke. Anyway, happy Monday, everybody. How you doing, Ash?
Yeah, not too bad. It's spring is springing. The lambs are dropping and hopping.
Yeah, spring has landed on us with a vengeance here in northern Scotland.
I feel like someone flipped a switch.
Gavin had a great word, or has a great word since he passed, as I'm sure he still uses it. Gavin describes the UK summers as lush. And I think it's the perfect word because you ever get in that thing where, and I should record it. I should find, if my watch had a temperature gauge, I could record it. But there's a point where it's like the air quality is perfect for you. Like the humidity's perfect. The temperature's perfect.
There's just enough of a breeze that you can feel the air moving. It doesn't feel still. But it's not enough to be inconvenient or mess anything up.
It's different for everybody. But when you hit it, you know what I'm talking about. Like it's like the perfect temperature. And you're like, yes.
You had your first perfect day?
I had little breeze coming through the window. I was working on stuff. It was great. Hi, everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's been a fun weekend. I don't know if you saw, but Ryan Gosling is back on SNL.
I think SNL has done a great job of revitalizing their entire brand with social media and in particular YouTube. Like, they don't care. They put all their stuff up on YouTube. You go watch it. When was the last time you tuned in to watch Saturday Night Live on NBC?
Oh, it's been decades. But I very frequently will go and I'll binge like all the sketches from an episode right there on YouTube.
How does that work for them, I wonder?
Whatever they've been doing, it's working for me.
Yeah,
I'm grateful for it. Mind you, I love Ryan Gosling every time he's been on. He always has some just amazing sketches. The one that always stuck in my mind is Papyrus. And they made a sequel!
Oh, well, this is from Deadline. Saturday Night Live season 46 ranked number one among all comedies on broadcast and cable. So it's really doing well. It's working for them. People are still tuning in. But I love it. I mean, I think you're right. Ryan Gosling is a great host. They had Kristen Wiig on last week.
Oh, the fact that they got her back. They did another, a Close Encounter. Kate McKinnon, they got back for the Close Encounter open.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
Which has always been like a great series. Every time they bring one of those on, you know it's going to be a good one. This was a good one. So excited.
And it was funny because a lot of people either really like when the comedians break or they really hate it. Or they hate it when some people do it. Like Jimmy Fallon is renowned.
Some people can get away with it and some people no.
Yeah. What's Heidi's last name? She's kind of the star. She's from my favorite sketch of all time, which was the Barbie Instagram sketch with Donald Glover.
Is that Heidi Gardner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost not night anymore.
She did a sketch with Kenan Thompson where Ryan Gosling and Mikey Day were dressed up as Beavis and Butthead. And she broke and I laughed my ass off. I mean, you couldn't laugh because of the way that Mikey Day was dressed as Butthead. Butthead's the brunette, right?
I don't know which is which, to be perfectly honest.
It's one of them. Yeah.
I just associate them as a two-named duo going, that's the extent. I was never allowed to watch it as a kid. I've never seen an episode of Beavis and Butthead.
I've seen some of it. I used to watch Mike Judge, used to be part of, have regular entries in something called the Spike and Mike Animation Festival. And this was like, if you liked animation and you liked really alternative, kind of weird animation, every now and then Spike and Mike would put something out. We'd go to theater. I'd go to theaters and watch it and watch all these shorts. Robert Rodriguez had some stuff, I think, in one of the Spike and Mikes.
I've never heard of this.
Never heard of Spike and Mikes, no. Really? Yeah. I don't know if it was a big deal or not. We'll link it in the link dump. I'll look it up while we're talking about something else here. But Mike Judge had a character that then became the red stapler guy in Office Space.
Okay.
And then had other characters that then became Hank Hill, essentially. Like, Hank Hill had kind of a dark origin as a character before he evolved to what he was in King of the Hill. And then Beavis and Butthead, I think, came out of that stuff as well. But yeah, Mike Judge's, like, independent original stuff is pretty wild. Mike Judge is weird. He's an Austinite. He's in Austin.
Is he?
He has been in Austin the entire time that I've been there. And you never hear about Mike Judge. You hear about all these other people like Matthew McConaughey, Robert Rodriguez, even I think Rooster Teeth more heavily associated with Austin than Mike Judge.
To be fair, I couldn't tell you what Mike Judge looks like.
Mike Judge is a fucking heavy hitter, man. King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead, Silicon Valley. I mean, that's him. Silicon Valley's Mike
what?
Judge. Dude is a heavy Office Space. Heavy, heavy hitter, man.
Okay, once you get Office Space in there, that all starts to get a little bit more cohesive. But when it goes from like Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill to like
Idiocracy.
Silicon Valley, that feels, okay, yep, okay, nope. Yep. See, all coming together. Once you put them all together, that does seem like a bunch that would belong. Other, like without all of them together, though, it seems like.
You can't picture Mike Judge, can you?
No, I can't. Probably I have one of the most, no idea what Mike Judge looks
interesting.
Like.
Anyway, I we're off on a tangent here with all this Mike Judge stuff, but it was great. SNL was fantastic. They redid the Close Encounter sketches, their cold open, which is one of my favorites of all time with Kate McKinnon. You love the Papyrus sketch.
I did.
Yeah.
I did the sequel to Papyrus. It was great. There's a lovely reveal towards the end of it, which really, I feel like, brings the sketch home. But I don't want to say it because, I don't know.
Go watch it.
Spoiler on a 6-minute sketch. But it's
something
worth
you could do after this episode of Morning Somewhere.
Indeed. Fully worth watching. It's funny. Ryan Gosling is an amazing comedic actor. I don't know why I have trouble. Like, I don't think of him immediately as comedic actor. I must be thinking of him. He must be stuck in my mind as, like, from, I don't know, Drive?
Oh, God.
Or something, because he's so good in so many things and comedic, too. Like, was it The Nice Guys?
Oh, my God. One of my favorite movies of all time, Nice
sublime
Guys.
Sublime in that movie. It is hilarious.
You know who did Nice Guys?
Everything. Who?
Well, we're talking about auteurs that, like, are influential, but people don't really know that well. Shane Black, the guy that did Iron Man 3.
No kidding. Okay.
Did you ever see Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
I did.
Yeah,
I did. That was, in fact, that was Robert Downey Jr. before. For Iron Man, maybe, right?
Yeah. I'd say a bit before, yeah.
Yeah, but that was like as part of his starting to put a career back together.
I'm actually surprised that you don't think of Ryan Gosling as comedic right off the top of your head because of how many times I've watched Nice Guys in the house.
Dad, there's like whores here and stuff.
Sweetheart, how many times have I told you don't say and stuff? Just say, Dad, there are whores here.
And that's the thing. It's like most of the films that I've seen with him in the they're funny movies. They're comedies. So I don't know why I think of him as a dramatic actor. I can't get my head around it.
He was so good in the Blade Runner sequel. Man, that movie was wild. It was like somebody hit pause after Blade Runner played in like whatever 1982, and then just hit unpause 4 decades later. I was really impressed by the way they pulled off that sequel after so many years. It was so good. He was fantastic in it.
Yeah, it shouldn't have worked, but it did, and it was great.
He's great. You know, he just, I'm trying to think if there's a bad Ryan Gosling role that I've ever seen.
I don't know. I guess it probably depends on how you feel about The Notebook.
Oh, yeah, that's some early stuff, the rom-com stuff. But even Matthew McConaughey went through that, and he's doing like all huge Oscar-worthy stuff now.
Yeah, you know? I feel like for a while, not so much now, because the romantic comedy genre is kind of in a rough place. But I feel like for a while, that was where actors like heartthrobs started. They would get all of their rom-com money and then go do like other stuff.
Yeah, well, Matthew McConaughey's autobiography, if you have any audiobook credits, green lights, he talks about how he intentionally stopped being a rom-com guy and had to go dark for like 2 years in order to be able to become a dramatic actor. And it was a process he specifically intentionally went through. It's pretty interesting.
Like no one would, what, take him seriously or cast him in anything because they were like, oh, he's the rom-com guy.
It's also, when you listen to his autobiography, it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's insane. I mean, talks about like going out and stealing spools of wire with his dad and stuff and is nice. Getting in a fist fight with his own father. Man, just somebody born from a different time, even when it wasn't that time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like there were parts of Texas, I feel like, that you were raised in where like they held on to some stuff way longer than other parts of the world.
Yeah, like they were resistant to progress.
I worked with a guy, like his first phone number that he had as a kid was like KL125. Like it was one that had the letter in it, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize until I just saw one of those, you know, on Reddit today, I learned things pop up that zip codes weren't introduced in the US until the 60s.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Yeah. Like you would just, address it to town, state, and it would get there. But then they just decided, too many people now, and had to actually introduce zip codes and run commercials on television explaining to people what zip codes were and what they were going to do.
We had that just recently. Do you remember we recently just got a letter in the post that was like, it's near this town and this other town. It's owned by an American.
Yes.
Do you remember that? That literally was on the envelope. We should have taken a photo of that.
We should have.
It weirdly doxed us in a weird way.
But it was, it was weird. It was like, it was the like house on the hill in this area thing. And it described everything. And then someone went, oh, I know where that is. And we got the letter.
It was in two towns over in a post office and then made its way to us via social media saying, a friend saying, I think this is you. And it's like, we looked at it, we go, maybe that's us. And we went to that post office and like, yeah, this is you. And it was for us. And it was for us. Really strange. It was really strange that happened.
Please don't send anything to the house on the hill.
Rural northern Scotland. Just take a shot and see if it gets there. But I've often heard, too, that the U.S. Post Service, like if you even just draw a map on the envelope, that they'll try to get it there.
Good on them. There's got to be like a special group within the post office that does that kind of thing. They're like the code breakers.
Oh, that's got to be like a treasure hunt, right?
Like post office code breakers. And they're like the specialists. And you hand them the envelope with like a treasure map on it. And they're like, I've got this.
If I may, Ashley, we talked, we did a Q&A this weekend on our Patreon. And one of the questions that was asked was, what would you bring from the US to the UK? And what would you take from the UK back to the US? And my answer was I'd bring highways from the U.S. What was my U.K. answer going back?
Garden hoses. Would take garden hoses.
I would take garden hoses back. I might change that. Postal codes. The postal code system in the U.K. is chef's kiss. It's amazing. When you type in your postcode, like when you're filling out an address online, most places when you do it, like your billing address or your shipping address, you put in your postcode. And then it gives you a drop down of all the addresses. And it's only, you know, depending on the density of where you live, you know, it's really quick to go through and just find your address and then you click it and that's it.
Yes.
And it doesn't work that way in the US.
No, well, zip codes have thousands of addresses tens of thousands. So that wouldn't be feasible at all. But the postcodes here are so specific. And they also, they're a combination of like letters and numbers. So I guess they can really just drill down. And you only have this many. If it's in this postcode, you just put that on it, it's probably going to get where it's going.
That being said, the U.S. five-digit zip codes do have the extra four numbers that nobody uses.
Oh, that's right, the dash.
Like, do you even know yours where you lived before?
Nope.
I've never known my extra four digits, and I'm sure that would exactly solve my problem, but it's one of those American things where you're like, no thanks.
No, just wanted to complain about it.
Here's the solution we've already come up with.
No, thank you.
All right, what's going on in the world, Ash?
A couple of fun things. So Fallout released last week, the TV show, and as a result, all of the Fallout games are seeing a huge spike in activity. Well, not that surprising. If you watch the show, it does give you that itch to play the games.
Did you want to do it?
I want to reinstall what I want to play again? I haven't played this for years and years, is the mobile game. Was it Fallout? Fallout Vault, Fallout Dwellers.
No, you almost got it. Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter.
It is one of the weirdest names. It was cool. It was actually an inspiration for how we started this podcast because we always liked, and Fallout Shelter was an example of this, an example of something like, hey, we're announcing this thing And here it is. Bethesda did that at one of their E3 conferences.
And it immediately broke the App Store, if I recall correctly.
Everybody was playing it that
week. We were frantically trying to get it downloaded. It was like the thing. It's almost a missed opportunity at the time that they didn't have some kind of, some kind of perk for the number of people playing or for exchanging something with people playing near you, because that's the only time that would have happened.
Yeah, it's like you build your vault out, and then you send people out into the wasteland to do things and stuff like that. It's a fun little mobile game. A lot of fun. You can customize the character and put a bunch of people in there that you know and things like that. It's so weird to me, though, that why did they call it Fallout Shelter and not call it Fallout Vault? Because that shelter is not a word that's used in the Fallout universe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have they ever explained that?
Not really, no. It's the one bit of branding that seems off about it. Otherwise, I feel like it really captures it. But it takes its medium into account. It's a good mobile game with Fallout like vibes and Fallout, a feel about to it.
I have wanted to go back and play Fallout New Vegas since seeing the Fallout series, because Fallout New Vegas is that game that I have started. It's like Mass Effect, where I've started like 3 or 4 times and just haven't finished it yet.
But this is going to be the time.
This
is going to be the time.
And I think it's just too branching and too deep, but I'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah. Another fun thing that's happening, a while ago we discussed, there was a Willy Wonka event in Glasgow, and it was this...
Famously terrible.
It was this like insane, like grifty event where like the guy that put it together, I don't know what his deal was, but he like hired all these people and he had these AI posters promising this lush, spectacular event. And you'd turn up and it was like a sad warehouse with like a mushroom. And then the sad Oompa Loompa girl went viral. Her name's Christy Patterson. They're recreating that event. They're not making a Willy Wonka event. They're recreating that Willy Wonka event in LA. They're bringing Kirstie Patterson in to do a Q&A and like appearance at it and everything.
I started following her after the event on social media, and she's been going to like cons and everything. Like, she's fully embraced.
Good for her.
This event. And then I saw that the New York Times did an article about the breakout star of this Willy Wonka debacle. So I went to read about it because I was interested, like, oh, maybe they're talking about this thing in L.A. They're talking about somebody else. What? This is from New York Times. Willy Wonka event ended in disaster. From its ashes rose a budding star. The internet latched on to 16-year-old Felicia Dawkins' performance as the unknown.
We did?
At a shambolic Willy Wonka-inspired event. This weekend, she's heading to a bigger and scarier stage in London.
What?
So she's moving on from that and now has, like, PR... where she's in the New York Times. So let's call this what this is. This was a wildly successful event at the end of the day.
You know what? This was the Dash Con of Willy Wonka events. Like, it was an insane disaster for everyone who was there, but everyone who wasn't there wishes they were there.
And now it's going to LA, and Americans are going to go do, ironically, all the horrible stuff that everyone was miserable doing.
You're going to get your like 1/8 ounce of lemonade and 1 jelly bean. And you know what? Everyone in LA is going to fucking love it. They're going to be posting pictures all over Instagram of their tiny lemonade and their 1 jelly bean. And they're going to be so happy.
Telling you. I would not go to the LA event. I have said before, I wish I was at DashCon. Wish I was at Fyre Festival. Wish I was at this Willy Wonka thing. But I wouldn't go to the fake, like, ironic version of it. That's just, if you're doing that, it's just silly to me. I mean, really, it is, you know? If you went to something and it was terrible, you go, oh, I was there and it was amazing. But now they're going to try to make it intentionally bad, right?
Right.
Or will they? Like, they could screw it up and try to, like, improve upon it.
Yeah, the only way they could screw it up, though, is make it good, right?
They should have a dude, like, you just open up, it's a dude in a Oompa Loompa costume going, how you doing? He just decks you in the face when you walk in. That's the whole event. Can I talk about a couple of dark things before we get to like some better stuff?
Sure. Morbid somewhere. Do it.
Yeah. Today's slightly morbid somewhere. So I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a billionaire in Vietnam who was recently convicted for the nation's largest ever fraud. She was a real estate tycoon.
Okay.
And to put in perspective how big her fraud was, the article that I read here from Business News, AP News, said that the fraud, the amount of it was worth 3% of the nation's GDP.
Holy
shit.
That's
how big it was. So she was convicted. Would you like to guess what her sentence was? Do you know this?
I don't know. She's going to...
Sam Bankman-Fried got 25 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, is she going to go hang out with him?
Death.
What?
She is part of an anti-corruption crackdown the Vietnamese government has been doing called Blazing Furnaces, which is a frightening...
That's ominous.
Blazing Furnaces. Yeah, so now she's a billionaire who's been sentenced to death for her crimes, for a financial crime. That's wild. I couldn't imagine. What would be a financial crime that could be someone in America being sentenced to death?
I mean, there have been some pretty big ones and no one comes close to that. So I mean,
it doesn't even seem like it's on the table.
I mean, I guess if you hit 3% of the US GDP, maybe they would consider it. This definitely seems like it's sending a message.
I don't know, man. If I think if you hit 3% of the GDP of the US, they would like give you an award. You know what I mean?
They'd be like,
it's not a crime if you do it big enough, right?
You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
That's pretty wild though. And then also in like weird dark financial news, Bitcoin had one of its flash dips. You don't want to use the word crash, but it went down like 10% in an hour.
Oh, that's got to be a scary thing to you if you are
alert started
looking
flying
at it and you see and you go, it did what?
I'm reporting this or talking about this after the fact, but let me read you the recovery as reported by Barron's. Bitcoin rebounds after weekend sell-off as Iran-Israel tensions ease. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies rose Monday, rebounding after a weekend sell-off driven by the geopolitical fears following Iran's drone and missile attack on Israel. That was wild. So as soon as Iran said they were launching the drones, they were going to take something like 9 hours to reach Israel. And so all of a sudden, Bitcoin crypto markets never close, right?
Right.
So it reacts to anything that happens anytime in the world instantly. Bit ironic, not on the level like Willy Wonka going to LA. Bit ironic that the currency that's supposed to weather us through Armageddon is like, there's a war, sell, sell, sell.
I was going to say, wasn't one of those big selling points of crypto that it's not tied to necessarily like the global situation?
Just pointing it out. And another thing I want to talk about today real briefly is I thought this was a really cool milestone. This was the last week was the first time ever that the NCAA, which is college basketball, women's final championship game had more viewership than the men's game.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the first time ever.
That's not something you hear about happening very often. The last time I feel like there have been a couple big moments in women's sports recently. There was the Matildas game. I can't remember who they're playing. I think it was Matildas versus UK, maybe. I think so. Yeah. Remember there was the big game and then the Matildas got knocked out. But
was that the game where the lady saw her nose broken on the big screen? Like the medics were checking her out and they cut to a close up here. She's like, oh shit, my nose is broken. It was such, we'll definitely leave that linked up.
I'm not sure if it was that specific game, but that is a very funny clip.
That's a tough lady, man. That was awesome.
It is interesting when you see some of these women's sports and they're just getting stapled up on the field and back out they go. It is insane.
Her fucking nose is sideways.
Ooh. and then before that was what, women's soccer, right? The women's soccer.
The dream squad that won the World Cup.
Yeah. So there, I feel like there
was
been
1999, babe. That was like 24 years ago.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the team that
the Mia Hamm team.
That Megan Rapinoe was leading.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember if that was Olympics. I do not follow sports nearly enough, but even not following virtually anything, these are all like big moments that I've been hearing about in my insulated non-sports bubble. And I feel like they're happening more frequently than they used to. So that's really cool.
Yeah. You know, I think in general, I think as more people become savvy about the choices they make in entertainment, they tend to watch things that they identify with. And I think that's a good thing. Like for me, I'm like, I'm so deep on like goth Instagram. Right now. I think I've hit it that way.
Your algorithm is going to be just all black.
All right. Well, that does it for us today. We want to thank everyone who has been supporting us on the Patreon.
At patreon.com/morningsomewhere. And on that note, I'd like to thank today's sponsors, MC Whitney. Happy 4th anniversary to MC and Sean, whose birthday, I heard, is much cooler than Thanksgiving, by the way. And to Alex Schaefer for keeping this podcast ad-free for all of our listeners. Thank you, MC and Alex.
Happy anniversary. Sorry to hear that you're no longer goth. if you do want to support us, please visit patreon.com/morningsomewhere. And thank you to everyone who has so far. All right. Well, we will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you all will be here as well.
Bye, everybody.